Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
This is Bill Rayner, back with you again with my good Grey Power mate, Matty Marinovich. Rather perplexed, as I don't really know where to start. Has there ever been a political situation like it? In the May Grey Power North Shore newsletter, I mentioned politically we were in interesting times. In August, I shifted to Bizarre. In November, I moved up to Startling. And now, with a new prime ministerial baby on the way, I'm speechless. Wonderful news for the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, and her partner, Clark Gayford. I send her a congratulatory message on behalf of our Grey Power senior community, with a special note on the joy the arrival of a new grandchild will be for her parents. Grandchildren are indeed one of life's great pleasures. In the curious way that new babies do, the whole country has been given an emotional lift and a feel-good factor that has nothing to do with the mundane real state of the world and ongoing day-to-day living issues. The arrival of new baby Ardern accentuates the generational change I've mentioned previously. We have a major shift in focus to the needs, values and enthusiasms of the younger generation coming to the forefront of political policy and direction. The unusual thing is that this has happened through an element of political accident rather than the normal progressive balanced transition of younger people rising through the ranks, gaining knowledge and experience as they go, with the senior people retiring as part of the natural cycle of life. I went up to Waitangi for the Waitangi Day commemorations, had a wonderful and interesting time when I was there. I was even invited to that pinnacle of the New Zealand social calendar, the Shane Jones Crayfish and Kaimawana party at his home in Kerikeri. For many of our generation, crayfish, tauara fritters and smoked fish were local delicacies that we all enjoyed from time to time, whereas most younger Kiwis would have never tasted any of them. No tauaras, but the tuatua fritters were an admirable substitute. Apart from the food, the party was an incredible mix of politicians past and present of all parties, the media, Shane's local Maori mates and family, all mixing together, having a wonderful, relaxed time with the superb Maori band pushing out the golden oldies. There must have been 200 or 300 people there. He's got a big rambling place up at the top of Carrick, and it really is quite magnificent. It'd be great if they could all work together like that in Wellington, but I guess that's just not going to happen. The formal ceremonies were striking and impressive also, and the Waitangi site itself overlooking the bay with the Navy ships and a big cruise ship anchored off was really lovely. Jacinda continued her Jacinda mania magic. She really is a remarkable young lady with a genuine friendliness and a big beaming smile. She hosted the PM's breakfast, previously an invitation only, rather formal affair, after the dawn service. She had it as an open public event, with her and the cabinet ministers cooking the snailers and bacon and dishing out the tomato sauce. The crowd loved her, particularly the Maori aunties, who have really taken her under their wing. A huge focus on the Maori part of the treaty, of course, signed 178 years ago. Captain Hobson got only a passing mention as the Crown representative, which highlights the need for a little campaign to get his gravesite in Auckland's Simon Street Cemetery and its surrounds given due prominence and upgrading, to ensure that our Pākehā British heritage is not lost in the mist and forgotten. An issue for another day. Grey Power soldiers on this new environment, I'm pleased to advise we've had some wins. The most heartwarming was the one successful outcome for the Auckland Primary School Music Festival, threatened with closure after the 70 years because of massive council rent increases for the use of the town hall. Looks like long-term sponsorship has been arranged. More good news is the passing of the Rates Rebate Retirement Village Residents Amendment Bill 2 weeks ago. This gives retirement village residents access to the Rates Rebate Scheme. Grey Power is heavily involved in this exercise and many of our members will benefit. It was held up basically by the previous government, who felt there wasn't enough sort of investigation into process, but it was actually a very simple exercise, and it's very pleasing to see that the new government has in fact passed it. Grey Power, in conjunction with Paul Lahore, Birkenhead real estate businessman, are working to put a proposal to government to provide loan funding for seniors and others caught up in the leaky home scandal. For those who are unable to finance the cost of the repairs themselves, many of whom are in a desperate situation. We'll be meeting with the relevant ministers shortly to progress this. Our next major involvement will be with the Auckland Council, 10-year plan process coming up next month. Mutty and I will be talking about that in a moment, but in the meantime, a musical break with the Waitangi Day acknowledgement from my old mate, Prince Dewey Teka, Pāmai. Thanks, Tui. I'm not sure that Tui ever went up to Waitangi. That's basically at our Pui event, and Tui was from Tuhoi down from Rua to Huna. Welcome back, Marty. We missed you last month as you had a family funeral to go to. I understand you've had a bit of a run of funerals lately.
Well, yes, Bill. A lot of the children of the pioneers of Oratia have passed away, or their wives in the last... Since the end of November, I've been to 7 funerals. It's and no weddings. And I actually remarked to the Catholic priest at one of them, he's a Capuchin friar, Father Matthew Clarkin, and I said, "Father, have you been to as many funerals or have you conducted as many?" He says, in his Irish brogue, "No, I haven't." So I said, "Can you do something about it?" He said, "Nobody can do anything about that except the good Lord himself."
That is interesting, because did all the settlers come out at the same time?
More or less. In the early 19, about a wave came out before the First World War.
Yeah.
Because of the poverty back home in the whole of Europe, yeah. So then my uncle passed away, my uncle Frank, who was my dad's brother, and my grandparents were... amongst the Pine, well, the Marinoviches were the second family of orchardists there after Mr. Steve Valor, who was the first in West Coast Road. So then there came the Glycina, so we had a Glycina pass away, and Knowlers, Gus, Wally Knoll the first, and then Gus Knoll, and they used to sell peaches, and they had a shed on Seymour Road in Glen Eden, and they were 3 cases of peaches in the 1960s for, I think it was £1. Well, now you'll be lucky if you get you'll be lucky if you got 4 peach, a little bag of peaches for that. So, no, it was a pretty testing time, and even helped one cousin with his dad organise his father's funeral. So grey power seems to thrust you into these unknown roles without you even knowing about it, and you end up doing it. You say, "Yes, I'll put your hand up, and yeah, I'll help you out." Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that we do in grey power.
Well, I guess it's the age we're at.
Yeah,
inevitable part of life, yeah. But no less sad because of that. In fact, I'm going right after the show to the farewell to an old motet mate who just died last week. But no, so in fact, I was quite intrigued when you're talking about peaches. I had my mother-in-law was actually, she was brought up in Samoa in a German family. Yeah. And of course, you tend to forget in Samoa in the 20s and 30s. It was a pretty difficult place. It's only shipped once every 6 months. Yes. So she's incredibly frugal. And they lived in Mount Albert and had this tree with all these golden queen peaches.
Yeah.
They always get brown rot.
That's right.
And they'd fall off. And then she'd bottle them, as everybody did in those days. Yeah. But she very carefully cut out this brown rot, which she, and of course, it never got at all. So all the peaches wind up with a strange sort of taste, fermented. I said, Mum, you can go up to Oratea and buy a case of peaches or two cases of peaches for a quid.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it just wasn't her way. Anyway, we get on to sort of on to what we're here for, which are council affairs. And I think I mentioned that the council are coming out shortly with it. 10-year budget in rear of the Auckland Plan. Now, the Auckland Plan was actually developed 6 years ago now, and the whole arrangement is they have a sort of a three-year review, and then now they've actually got a major review of the 10-year budget. And they put out various sort of broad headings, which is concerns Great Barrier a little bit. They're talking about Auckland Plan Refresh, it's called, and they've got two dynamic directions for it, which are a concern. One is the fact that the initial concept to say that they're going to continue to focus very much on the Maori element in South Auckland. And the other one is what they call celebrating diversity, which is celebrating on the various ethnic groups that have come into the city. But it's squeezing in the middle because the traditional people that are here are getting a bit squeezed out of the picture, well, which is a concern.
I think in saying that, Bill, we in Grey Power are concerned about the way that the older people above 50 have been treated by not only the council but probably the parliament as well. Even looking at, say, the first 100 days of the government, there doesn't seem to be many lollies in the jar for the people on super at the moment. The council is of grave concern in that the rates this year we're going to be hit with. They're proposing the 2.5%.
Well, this is probably the point we're talking about. I mean, the thing that the mayor's put out, and of course, the thing is with the mayor has a responsibility now for putting the budget up.
That's right.
And of course, he has his officers helping him, but it comes from the mayor's office. It's his budget, and he's come out and sort of the initial proposals were general rate increase of 2.5% for 2 years, and then 3.5, because he did give that undertaking when he was elected. It'd be 2.5% for 3 years or no more.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's this regional fuel taxes is coming in, which I think is 10 cents a litre.
Yeah, it is.
And then they're taking away this targeted transport levy of $114 a year. And, of course, it's smoke and mirrors because mayor says those aren't rates, you see.
Yeah, I just come to my mind. If they don't remove the targeted transport levy, now they're very, if they're that clever, they would have hooked on to the idea that to go to do a regional fuel tax, you've got to have a local member's bill. The council can't pass that.
No, exactly. No, that's the point.
It needs a local member's bill to be taken to Parliament. When it gets down there, all the rest of the country will say, we don't want a bar of this.
Well, that's the interesting thing that might happen, because the point being, I said, even as a paper, he said with the transport levy, it was only for 3 years, and the 3 years has run out. Yeah. But he said it could, it's dependent on the government picking up on this fuel tax thing. Now, the other one that I think is going to be a great sort of bone of contention is a special targeted levy, which, of course, he doesn't call a rate either. It's a special targeted levy for water quality, cleaning up, he says, cleaning up the water stands, and he says on $66 dollars a year on average. Yeah. That's on about $1 million rating valuation.
The other thing, Bill, is that in November 2017, all the properties in Auckland were revalued, and the new valuation shall be used in July the 1st to set the new rates. Then they always say, oh, we ameliorate them. That's a load of codswallop.
Well,
so they lower the rate in the dollar to allow for the increase in the valuation. I think something like that happens.
Well, they do. What they do, and they have an overall rate for the city, whatever, $4.6 billion or something.
Yep.
And then they got all the rateable values for the city, and they divide them. So it's a bit like me. I've got a house in Devonport, a pile of borer fee, but it's valued at about $1.3 million or something. So the average is $1 million. And, of course, what has happened, which will impact on a lot of people over the last 3 years with the housing boom, is places like West Auckland and South Auckland have all gone up.
They have.
And places like the North Shore, which went up in the first 3 years, haven't gone up so much.
It's happened. It's going to impact fairly heavily on the west, out Waitakere, out that area, and, as you say, out in South Auckland. But then again, this whole idea of property rates goes back to, God, the days of the turnpikes in England, from my historical knowledge. And the owner of the land would charge the guy to take his horse and cart over maybe a farthing. But if they went on his land, he got paid for everything that was happening.
Well, that was perhaps slightly different, because, I mean, the whole point of a taxation system since time began is based on land.
Way
back,
of course,
it was a guy who had land, the king taxed for whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's whether we get grey power, I've got to do something, push something forward, because we are an advocacy group. We've got to do something about this whole rating system throughout the whole country, because it's getting to the point where it's starting to get onerous.
Well, that's too hard for us. I know.
The council should be doing it.
Well, we're sort of our local patch faced with the council. And, of course, it's like a lot of things. Grey Powers asked for the GST to be taken off rates. But you're getting into the government. Of course, maybe with the new government they might be a bit receptive. Yeah. But, of course, they're very jealous about their revenue too.
You see. Of course they are.
They don't want to give away... It goes around in circles.
But the rate situation, I mean, some of the older people in, say, for instance, Herne Bay, parts of Remuera and that, they'll be rated off their properties. And out our way, the rates will get to the point one day where the council, through its rating policy, is going to force subdivision, whether the greenies want it or not.
Oh, that's always happened.
That's the problem. Yeah, it's happened since time immemorial.
For the seniors now, the position is over this, because they've got the rates rebate scheme, but that doesn't really... The levels are so low.
They are. It needs probably an increment in the...
So that's what the
it's $620 a year currently.
Yeah, but that's government as well, you see. That's Internal Affairs. So what...
We are aware who the Minister of Internal Affairs is. Honourable Tracy Martin. We'll have to pass that by her.
Yeah. So basically what we put forward, and traditionally with Grey Power, and just on rating issues, we're sort of pressing for this idea of what we call grandfathering, where seniors, after paying rates for 25 or 30 years or something, or just getting to the age of 65, rates either freeze, so they don't go up anymore. In fact, I've done a little bit of a study. Like in Western Australia, they get a 50% discount.
Oh, do they?
And there's a lot of American cities that actually have the same, where you get quite a big discount on your rates for seniors. So that's
a jolly good idea, I think.
Well, we put it in our submission for the last 5 years, and of course, one of the problems in contacting with council is that sort of trying to get them to accept anything, because even with the plan, I mean, the plan was started last June, I think, and by the time you get around to making a formal submission and whenever it is sort of May next year, nothing much is going to change, but that's one of the key points that we've been putting forward. I think probably the other one that sort of probably what we've got on this list was a better rates rebate system, because it's sort of, and give the Auckland Council their due, they have come to the party with the rates rebates as far as the retirement villages are concerned, and giving them a $600 notional rate. But that could probably sort of change with the fact now that the government's passed this legislation where the people in the retirement villages can, in fact, even though they're not on the rating roll, can, in fact, claim the rates that they pay and their fees they pay to the retirement village. But the other one is sort of perhaps interesting that I find is sort of probably very topical is this age-friendly city concept that sort of the senior community in general is pushing. We'll be working on that. But the other one that I've put on is a sort of, I suppose, part of a grey power policy, but a broader issue is the Auckland Council, the mayor's talking about selling the parking buildings because, you know, that's one of the problems they have is they're scratching around finding any land the council owns, even if the community's bought it 50, 60 years ago, and they're selling it off, which I think is not a good thing. Grey power's strongly opposed to selling of the assets. I mean, it's not smart.
And, no, it's not smart at all.
And the issue with parking is interesting because both the parking building or the parking companies now, Tournament and Wilson, are sort of in essence merged. And they're basically owned by Chinese billionaire in Hong Kong. And of course it's not just the cost of the parking, it's also the rorts that run with the sort of the the rip-offs you get in your parking building. So Grey Power's put forward that the Auckland City Council should actually take over the whole of the commercial operation of parking in Auckland. One, it's an extremely good business. You know, it's very low overhead. All you've got is a concrete building and the way that what you pay for parking. I was quite intrigued, actually, talking about parking. I went to the Auckland Art Gallery, which is having problems of its own, to see this Corsini exhibition. And the Wilson's car park, which is just across the road, it cost me $16 for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, okay. But what I found really grizzled, they charge you by the half hour. And if you went 1 minute into the next 30 minutes, they'd charge you the $6. Instead of saying, so the whole thing, and of course the other problem you have with the parking are the problems they have with the people that are using these clamping wheels. So there's a whole aspect there, and of course if the Auckland Council are as smart as they should be able to find people in their council who can run it as a business, like Wilson's are doing.
Tomorrow, with regard to the council sort of stuff in Waitakere, we've got Panuku Developments are coming out, and they're going to be doing the a pensioners' retirement village, but some of it they're going to sell, privatise. So that will be interesting. Tomorrow you and I will hear what their plans are and we'll be able to question them. And also Auckland Transport's going to come because we go like you do to the local board and they wanted to know about seating and all that stuff for older people and toilets and facilities like that in Henderson. So we went to a local forum there and I popped up and out of the middle of nowhere said, oh, well, it's very nice for you. Local board members, you're getting paid to sit at this table, and even if you go off to sleep, which many of you do, it's so bloody boring. And I said, but we come here, we don't get anything, and we do it for the benefit of the older people. Now, the Auckland plan the refresh, but the initiative towards older people, Auckland is not by any stretch of the imagination an age-friendly city.
Well, I think it's because we have that.
We're working on trying to get it there, but it might take the next 50 years. You and I will be gone.
Well, I think the hard part is, one of the other issues we have now, as you say, I mean, it's very difficult to communicate effectively with Auckland City. And I know that Ren Brown used to tear his hair out. He said, crikey, he said, sort of 75% of my problems come from Auckland Transport because we've got no control. So it's just...
That's right.
There's no councillors. And they took the two councillors who are on it, Mike Lee and Christine Fletcher. Both are pretty competent people.
What was it in the year somewhere about the... I lost the page. Oh, no, the submissions and stuff to be made, but I think on the plan they had by the 31st of March. But it's on blinking line.
Well, there's two problems.
And we have a problem with our own members moaning and bitching, ringing me up or ringing the office manager. We can't do online. We don't have a computer.
Well, this is an issue because actually what we're doing on the North Shore, we've got a little local board issue coming up because one of the things we've talked about briefly before is how the Senior Citizens Association started in the 60s are starting to struggle and putting forward a submission.
Well, not only that, the Provost Club's out our way.
Well, it's more these people. They have facilities, physical facilities.
That they own.
And, of course, the idea is to get the council to sort of work together to upgrade all these facilities. Thistledisease of 21st sort of century standards, because they're putting $4.5 million into a use for the facility and the old RSA. Yeah. So they really need to do that as well, sort of. And that's, again, but we can only do that.
Well, you and I both being heritage buffs, I was reading in the Western Leader in the car before I come in, building the old building in New Lynn. Destined for demolition. It's been in Totara Avenue since time immemorial.
Yeah. Oh,
so this is what's happening now.
Well, that's a different issue.
Yeah.
I mean, heritage, don't start me on heritage.
No, don't start me on it either, because I'll wax for hours.
Basically what the point I'm making is that we're actually getting a little campaign with a printed template submission, Generation Zero do online, and we're going to get that as much as we can.
Yeah.
And because I think it was interesting, in the last local board plan, they only got 600 submissions altogether.
Yeah.
And I think we were out to beat that. We're trying to get 1,500, because they work on numbers.
They do.
Well, we're sort of getting towards the end of our time. It's sort of coming through. So it's sort of like anything to do with council, you can go through quite a while. But I just assure everybody, it's complex and it's difficult. But we're on the case, and we'll be going through the whole plan and putting our submissions to council as best we can. We haven't made the point that the online submissions are unacceptable, and we would like to meet face to face. So, kanohi ki kanohi, as the Maori say.
The thing that they think when it comes to grants from the local board, we got $1,000 from the Henderson Massey local board, so I've got to thank them.
We're running out of time, Matty.
Okay.
So we've got to wind it up.
Okay.
And that's it for today. As you well can hear, I mean, once you get into council, it sort of it goes on and on and on. But we've once again at back. It's a very interesting time with Jacinda Mania in full swing, and the council looking to extract every last cent from the ratepayers. Lots going on. We'll keep you posted, and we'll wind up today in a Waitangi Day mood still with Prince Tui Teka classic, Po Atarau. So thanks for listening. Bye for now.
With Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.